Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I want to read Exodus 12. I trust God for grace to. Can you amplify my voice? I don't even know if you can even hear me right now. Can you hear me? Exodus 12. It seems that today God wants to deal with long-standing problems. I wanted to teach on a few things, but it seems the Lord is looking at a slightly different direction, and I will just do it quickly and get out of the way because I'm a bit mesmerized right now. In Exodus chapter 12, Lord help me. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. I read it and the Lord said, you are not seeing something, go back and read it. The beginning of months for you. I know they said it was January. Say this, it's the beginning of months for you. Now your story is going to be told God's way, this way, this way. You've had to deal 400 years of pain, 430 years of unfulfilled prophecy. He said, but today, heaven's verdict. He said, today, this month, hallelujah, is the beginning of months. When God said that, the shackles didn't break off their hands. The shackles were still there. But heaven has spoken. God has spoken. As far as God was done, God has gone to sleep. The moment God said it, it was done. Stay with me. I'm seeing something. See, I am, as I'm talking to you, I'm looking at a lot of buildings. I'm somewhere around 10 p.m. right now. And I am right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm in between two civilizations. I'm here with you, and I am seeing these houses around between something between 9 and 10, thick darkness, and I'm seeing bushels of lamps, just something that depicts ancient civilization. And God is saying to me, say, you are in Egypt now. He said, that's Egypt. He said, this was that day that you are reading about. He said, and you can see everywhere is just darkness, is night, nothing is happening. Even after I said it, nothing changed on the outside. He said, but just watch it. He said, watch it. He said, what do you see? I see people are just, a few people are awake, just trying to get into their huts or their houses, trying to catch a nap. And the Lord says, they don't know that this is the last night. They don't know. They went to bed slaves. But they are they are waking up to a new information. You don't understand. I mean, when you slept thinking that the way you slept was the way you're going to wake up, and God said, look, these guys don't even know. I just spoke that this will be the beginning beginning of a new season for them. He said they went to bed as slaves. They wake up, they are all going to be billionaires. He said, because I'm going to ask their slave masters to take what is in their banks and give it to them. He said, but a few hours ago, many of them didn't know that they were coming out of penury into a new day. And this is the day the Lord has made. I rejoice and I am glad in it. Hallelujah. The Lord said, looking at the atmosphere, say, what do you see? I see an angelic being. He said, that is the angel of death, stayed over the people. Say, that angel will touch ground tonight. There is a kind of punishment, for it is a righteous thing of the Lord to give recompense to those who have punished you. He said there is a kind of visitation that will change the mind of the enemy. He said you have tried to negotiate, you have tried to do so many things and it didn't work. He said, I said to you, this is your final night in this state. I see all the bulbs, all the lights of the bushel. I see them going out, and I see the light of God from heaven resting upon Goshen, resting upon Goshen. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He says, say unto Zerubbabel, but not by power, neither will it be by might. Say, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord, even this mountain shall be removed. God gave clear instructions after that prophetic word, and that is by area. I would have loved to explain this purely from scriptures, but sometimes you begin to oscillate between two realms. You just have to flow. If not, speak ye, this verse 3, to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a what? Every man a what? Every man a lamb, simplifying purity, chaste, the finished work on the cross. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to. You see, I want to bring up something here. Many times there's a requirement of heaven for you to do, but sometimes you are constrained. The Lord says, when there is an instruction and you find that you are incapable of carrying out that instruction, find a partner. If the Lord has asked you to fast for 70 days and you feel the way you are going, you will eat midway, call someone and say, can you join me? Let's fast for accountability purpose. Because the instruction is clear. It will not show up until after the 70th day. And you know yourself that you are not capable of embracing this prophecy because of the requirement of the prophecy. Say, find a partner, find a neighbor. It is wisdom. It is what? Wisdom. I leave that at your doorstep. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You know, in the beginning of these scriptures, the one of God was saying that this shall be the beginning of months. Now God began to specify the type of sacrifice he was going to require. Said, if a male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly shall kill it in the evening. I said to you, see, there are dangerous things that happen in the night. The last evening as slaves, they gave a sacrifice. If Pharaoh stood on his towers and saw all of them in the evening raising sacrifice to the heavens, he would think these guys were hungry. But this is not that type of sacrifice. This is the sacrifice that brings me into a new day. I don't know if you are listening to me. It is the instruction that you are obeying that releases the strength of heaven in that in your direction. This was not the first time they had given a sacrifice. But God said, this one, it will not be one person. Everybody will do it in front of their house. I don't know if you understand what God is saying. I don't think you understand. Because later, when Moses was giving them the law, he would ask that only a priest. But God did some substitution by elimination or some form of integration when in one night he allowed the head of every house to arise as a priest. Because the weight of what was coming would require unity. Every man finding his neighbor. So I will find you, you will find him, you will find him, you will find her, you will find him. And together in that community called Goshen, everybody will lift a sacrifice to the Lord. And when the stench of that sacrifice arise into the heaven, the angel of death will jump down and then go specifically into the house of the oppressors and begin to take them out. There is a part of your enemy that God will touch and he will melt. Amen. It looks stubborn until God touches that part. I speak prophetically and I leave it at your doorsteps. Lord, help me. And they shall take the blood in verse 7 and strike it. You strike it on the two pillars of the house. You see, every step in this prophetic position is deliberate. It didn't say rub their face. It says strike it. Say, if any man will not receive this gospel, shake the dust off your feet by the markings of the blood. They initiated a new day and said goodbye to 430 years. For some reason, I don't understand, but there seems to be some form of power in prophetic symbols, steps. God says to a man, open the window and shoot an arrow. The man doesn't shoot the number of arrows God expected. And God said, if only you have shot more than that. Like, what's the big deal? Just do it. No. Every time you respond prophetically to God, without anything on the external, agree with what you are saying, what you have just done is like that man who saw a ladder connect between heaven and earth. Because God will not do anything on the earth until he finds somebody standing with him in agreement. God can do it anyway, but he chooses to do it this way. Because the move of God will require your participation. So you shall smite it upon the two sides of the post and on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it, and they shall heat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire. This looks like some babalawo here. And unleavened bread with bitter herbs, and they shall heat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs. And it began to give some of scripture says in verse 10, he said nothing of it must remain, because you are doing away with your past. Not you must not take one shirt out of this 430 years into the new year I am bringing you to. I speak prophetically and I leave it at your doorsteps. He said, that which remained, as you proceed into the new year, what do? Burn it with fire. Because fire is a purifier. And you shall eat it with your loins, what? Guarded. Ready to move. Ready to move. I'm speaking to somebody. Ready to move. This kind of food, you don't eat it sitting, you eat it standing. Because after this, we are moving. Oh God, somebody is hearing me. This is the last time we are going to eat in. Oh, somebody's not. You don't understand. This is the meal of all meals. This is the meal we eat. The next time we eat it, to be in the presence of the Lord. Eat it. Guard your loins with what? According to Ephesians. With what? The breast. No. With the belt of truth. The truth is what God says. He said, with your shoes on your feet. You've got to be ready. As at this time, there was no declaration of war in Egypt. Just people responding prophetically to what the prophet was saying. They didn't know what was going to happen. But God says, I am not just going to bring you out. I'm going to bring out your family. So I want you to prepare like you are ready to take a flight. I know we've waited for this, but this is your moment. Say, Lord, it doesn't look like, say, it doesn't matter. Just wear your shoes. Tighten your belt. Prepare like you are about to take a flight. You will eat this food standing. Whatever is left there, you will put fire upon it. You will not come back again to light another matches. You will not have to cook here again. Because there's a massive shift. There's a massive movement. Advancing by the force of heaven. Oh, you don't understand. This is God himself. Saying the prison doors are open. Oh God, we didn't do all this praying for nothing. He said you shall eat the food in haste. Have you ever had to eat in a hurry? Because you knew you needed to catch up with time. Time is the only thing people can create. People make money, people do all kinds of stuff, but you can't make more time. You can't make more time. So he says, eat it in haste, eat it and gulp the water. And I'm wondering, what is the big deal is here? Because it is the Lord's Passover. What it means is that you must have a readiness, because the Lord is going to visit the land. His feet will touch that ground, and he must not find you slouching. If the Lord had to excuse himself from heaven and then step into Goshen, step into your space, step into your land, he mustn't meet you slouching. He must meet you ready. He said, who is that servant that when, excuse me, when the Lord his master comes in Luke chapter 12, he finds them sleeping. He said, those are what did he call them? They are the unfaithful servant. He said, but blessed is that servant that when the Lord comes in the night, he finds him waiting and ready. Don't let him catch you slouching. Don't let him catch you sleeping. The Lord is about to move in the land. It is not your Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. And I said, Lord, what are you passing over? He said, don't you know that every time you weep, do you even know your worth? Do you even know your value? That every time you shed those tears, heaven is looking at you. Heaven is asking, why is the prince of the kingdom weeping? Every time you had to cry out to God out of frustration, the whole of heavens are saying, why is the princess of Zion weeping? Every time you are in chains, it is my own integrity as God that is at stake. That is why this battle is my battle. It is the Lord's Passover. As I move, you move. As I move, you move. You've got to be ready because you follow in my steps. As I pass over, you move. Don't wait. Don't wait. God said to Lot, move. Don't look back. This kind of journey, you must have a readiness to move. If you look back, it is the Lord's Passover. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt tonight, and I will smite all the firstborn. The firstborn is the one that carries the inheritance. I will kill every child of promise. When I kill, I am not committing murder. I am he that giveth and I take. I will forget the land. I will disgrace your enemies. Those who stood in the secret place to determine your future and the future of your children and your children's children, even though they are dead, God said, I will expose them. I will disgrace them. I will restore you. They will not have choice in this matter. He said, for tonight, I will visit the land, specific places, and I will look at the prince of Egypt. Come, your soul is taken from you. And I will go to the second in command. Come, your soul is taken from you. I will visit every strategic bus stop where decisions are to be made, and I will break their spirit. So all of that time when they were in sorrow for 430 years, God was preparing and sharpening his armor for every pain that you had to go through. There is a day of visitation. You will just hear that the people who seek your life are no more. Hey! Jesus said to that prostitute, where are your accusers? Master, I can't find them. Oh, I thought somebody was preaching among them just now. I said, Master, I can't find them. No, you need to look around properly. Look around. Do you recognize any faces? No, I don't know Peter. Do you know Peter? No, he doesn't come to my shop. Do you know John? He doesn't come to my shop. Say, who is this one? I said, I don't know. This is Philip. His name is Philip. He said, I don't know him, sir. Say, do you know me? Say, come. Go. You are redeemed from the power of sin. Go and become everything they said you could not be. That is the meaning of what Jesus said. Go and become everything they said you could not be. They will be alive and they will see it happen. Say, for tonight, I will visit Egypt and will smite all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all, oh my goodness, he said, I will execute judgment against the gods of Egypt. I'm beginning to think maybe we don't really know who we are worshiping. God says, I will do this battle physically and spiritually. I will touch the ground first and take them out. Then I will visit the planetary bodies where their gods are, and I will execute judgment on all of them. He's called a man of war for a reason. The next time someone threatens you, the problem is you are too quiet, you are too coordinated and too educated for God. The next time someone threatens you, tell the person, I appreciate the point you are making, but if you threaten me again, there are things beyond the eyes that will fight you, and I am not joking. He said, for and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Every time God begins to introduce himself to you, every time God is putting his integrity at stake, saying that, look, if you were ready for it, if it was because you went to Harvard or you went to Yale University or Oxford, your breakthrough is not a surprise to anybody, because you are ready for it. If I spent 4 years in Oxford, chances are that I would have made friends among the high and mighty, their children. So my breakthrough is not a surprise. But if I take you from the backside of Mushi, and then I tell you that I am the Lord, by the integrity of my name, I will take you to the other junction. Look at what happened next. He said, and the blood shall be to you as a what? As a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then it hit me. It was not the nation of Egypt that God passed over. It was over his own sons. The prophecy was more about his children than the enemy. That when Moses took the sons of Israel, passed them through the Red Sea, it wasn't through the water he passed them through. He said, this blood shall be what? A token. Symbolic. It's a symbol of something. That in the days to come, when a man comes to Jesus and says, here I am, save me, what I do is I pass over such a man. But it is not just me. It is the passage of blood. Since the day you gave life to Christ up to now, you have been inside of blood. That is why you are righteous. It is not your pleading that makes it effective. Plead the blood of Jesus, but just know that you are already inside the blood. He said, it shall be a token for you. Ha! And I began to look at it. I was like, wow, what is this? He said, it shall also be a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Now, in the land of Israel, we have the feast of the Passover, we have the feast of Pentecost, we have the feast of the ingathering, and I need to come back at some time and explain this to you, because the move of God in the earth is encapsulated in these things. But permit me to just stay with this. I don't want to be doctrine, I just want to show you what I'm saying. God says something shall be to you a memorial. What does that mean? It means this will be an experience you cannot forget. Stuck in your memory for life. Another thing is, because you always have the blood with you, every time the devil stands toe to toe telling you that you are going to fail in what, in your enterprise, when you look at the blood, you look at him, I can't see what you are saying. I can't see what you are saying. there is a place for symbolic symbols and tokens. Jesus, get me that scripture. I think it's in Matthew, maybe Matthew, where he had the Last Supper. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Matthew 26 verse 24. Jesus was going to have the final supper, and he began to speak about the blood again. I'm trying to bring you into a place that even in the Christian faith, we have our own rites. R-I-T-E-S. They look stupid, but the effect of these rites cannot really be explained. How can someone take only communion and cancer leaves his body? How? These are things I don't understand. I don't even have a doctrine around it. How can somebody be SS after a holy communion, goes to the hospital? They say you are not SS, you are AA. They say check again. They say you are AA. I say check again. What these guys did on that day was the first prototype of the Holy Communion. Because it was the Passover. Now in scripture, I can't slow down. But if you read this entire chapter, you will see that this was also the period of the Passover. This period. In other words, in your days, I asked all of you to stand before your houses with a lamp. But now the lamp is here. The one perfect ultimate weapon. The lamp. In person. I know I said to you in your days that I will visit the land and I will execute judgment. Yeah, that was me, but you didn't see me. Now I'm here. Say the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. That scripture in Exodus was written of him. By whom the Son of Man is betrayed, if it had been good for that man that he should not be born. Verse 25. Then Judas answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said, well, thou said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And you see what Pastor Desmond said? Bless and you break. Jesus took the bread. He what? Blessed the bread. And he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, for this is my. Now it is either Jesus is carnivorous or he was speaking from another order of priesthood, because what we have in front of us is bread and not meat. I don't know if you understood. But Jesus was calling that bread his body. So we have to look through the lenses of Jesus to see what he was saying. He was speaking of redemption. The Bible says he broke it and said, this is my body. Go ahead. Verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks for it. The cup. That is amazing. Go to verse 26. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples. Go to verse 27. He didn't bless it, he gave thanks. I want to show you something. Do you know the warfare Jesus had to go through to get to that point? The blood itself is the, that is the sacrifice. Do you realize how much pain, how they almost wanted to make him heir in his ministry and in his personal life, that he won't get to this day? So when Jesus held the blood, Father, we made it. After now, there will be no other sacrifice. you don't understand. The length men have to go through to find redemption from things of this earth. Huh? When you go to a baba, is that this one now sacrifice? Oh, you will get a white goat with three eyes. And I warn you, stop watching African magic. When you say, Baba, where are we going? He says it's in the spiritual world. Just bring the money. Those things are free, dear. But can you go and bring it? So you bring the money, since you can't go. We need money to go to the spiritual realm. And men have suffered untold hardship, trying to find hope and rest for their souls. And Jesus held that cup. And inside that cup, he wasn't seeing wine. He was seeing his blood. For him, he was already dead. He was just waiting to be hanged. He said, drink ye what? All. Spare nothing. The same instruction he gave to his sons in Goshen. Nothing must be wasted. This one is not, I'm not thirsty. Ah, you must be thirsty. Drink all of it. Follow instruction. I'm seeing something. No time. Verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission and for the forgiveness of sins. Adulterer, murderer, whatever sin, this blood is clean enough, is holy enough to wash you. When this blood, you're looking at it, is red, but when it washes you, you come out white. It doesn't make you red, it makes you white. Ha! Verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So when we all stand with him on that glorious day, when all nations of the earth are represented in his presence, the first thing he's going to do is fulfill this scripture. I don't know how they are going to do it, but you will all have a cup in your hands with bread and say, brothers, you are welcome. Let us do this again. When all the eternal purposes of God has been fully consummated and completed, and you have made it to the other side. But this time, you ain't wearing shirt, you ain't wearing trousers, you are clothed in immortality. And then you can look at the face of him that is in the throne, and you are not afraid. And then you can, he can call you son, and then you can say father. Then we will drink before our Father as brethren. And then even Jesus will now become subject unto the Father. This is a great ministry. It seems to me that even the Catholics have more reverence for the Holy Communion more than Pentecostals. You want to see a dedicated Catholic? Go on the day they are taking the Holy Communion. Everybody behaves. Apart from when you land at Heathrow Airport, the next time Nigerians behave is when they are in a Catholic church going to take the Holy Communion. Oh, you don't know. You should visit a Catholic church. It doesn't matter if the priest was just ordained yesterday. There is alignment and order. The boy doesn't have beards. They just ordained him yesterday. But if he's the one standing at the altar, even if you're as big as whatever, if you're in that church, you will kneel before the priest. We must return to holy reverence of the tokens that the Lord has given to us. I would have wanted to share some other things, but because of time, and our time is fast spent, we're going to take the Holy Communion in a few minutes. But I want to encourage you, because this is not really a teaching, to go and do your research on this. We have asked the Lord, because now I understand what the Lord meant when he said today, tonight. And I kept wondering why he kept saying tonight, because this is 10 a.m. in the morning and he kept saying tonight. So maybe in the spirit realm, we are about to break into a new day. And then coincidentally, we'll be breaking bread and drinking of his blood. This is the highest form of covenant possible in the universe, to take of somebody's blood that is alive and still living, which means his priesthood is an eternal priesthood. That as long as I live, my resources are now your resources. If there's any curse in your bloodstream, when you come to Calvary and take of this blood, you are chained on inside, then you are also chained on the outside. Fools will not know what has happened to you, only for you to return. You now realize that the same things that held you can no more hold you. And that is why what the devil now does is he tries to separate you through loss, because he knows he can't hold you no more. He tries to tell you you are not really free. The devil is a liar. The same Holy Ghost that you have is the same Holy Ghost Jesus had. It's the same Holy Ghost that Paul had. The same Holy Ghost that your sisters or your brother sitting beside you has. There is no junior Holy Ghost. There is no junior anointing. The same blood. The same blood will save a thief, save a mass murderer. Same blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us, plot 223 beside Body Emmanuel Center, satellite bus stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.